Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 273 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here with you. Hello.
Hello.
And as I saw you walking across the car park tonight, I thought you'd arranged an in-person interview with Annika Rice.
My bottom isn't that big.
No, but the long flowing hair, the red trousers, tracksuit and everything, yeah.
New trainers.
They're posh trainers, are very good.
Yeah, lovely.
But no, it's you. You're right.
Yes, thank you.
What have you been up to this week?
Oh, not a lot, to be fair.
No.
As the nights draw in, I do less and less.
You're not allowed out anymore.
No, I just put the fire on. Telly.
Sit there in the conservatory with the fire on. Oh, there we go. Right, so what have we got on the show?
Well, we are going to be talking to Matt Willoughby. He's our music for this week.
Yes, he'll be providing the tunes, and we're hearing his current single, Nowhere Town, a little bit later on. Mikey Johnson is going to be telling us all about Jungleland and their forthcoming Silence Playtime is Over, which is their Halloween offering this year on the 31st of October.
Is,
yeah,
yes.
You need to get yourself your name down and book tickets for that one.
Then we'll be talking to Julia Sutton on her book, The Lake of Lilies. It's not actually out yet, but you can pre-order it, and she needs you to do that now.
We'll find out all about that a little bit later on. But first of all, we're now very lucky to be joined on the phone by Janet Lewis, MBE Director of the English Youth Ballet. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
How are you?
Very busy.
Wait, I should think so, because you're arriving at Wolverhampton with Sleeping Beauty on Friday and Saturday this week.
Yes.
And, I mean, this is a fantastic chance for the people of Wolverhampton to see some great dancing on stage. And this all started out when you actually founded this, was it back in the 90s?
It was 1998 when I set up English Youth Ballet to give opportunities to young dancers in the regions of England. Feeling that so much happens in London that I wanted to redress the balance and give a performing chance for the very promising dancers we have in the UK.
And it's a Sleeping Beauty that's coming to the stage. I mean, this is a classic story as well, isn't it?
It is. I've slightly updated it, I think, because we start in 1896, we go into 1912, and then we go into 2012 years later, which is 2 years ago. So we've slightly modernised it with the royal princes, a bit like Prince Harry and the like, and searching for a princess in a sort of frozen palace, and they are looking for on their iPads, as it were. Who knows? So, having said that, there are very traditional bits that people expect to see in Sleeping Beauty. So all the bits they like.
It's one of my favourite ones, Sleeping Beauty. I think it's a fantastic story, isn't it?
Yes, it's all about parties, really, isn't it? A christening and a birthday, and then a wedding.
And there's families all get together at these times, but they don't necessarily dance quite so convincingly as the English Youth Ballet, though, do they? Tell us a bit how the people get involved in this. I mean, where do you find these youths? It's probably not the nicest way of putting it. The kids who get involved in dancing.
Well, we always visit the area and make an audition at the theatre 6 months in advance. And we invite, within a 50-mile radius, alert all the dancing schools, put out a lot of publicity, and they attend an audition, and we go from there, and we're very popular. We get up to 300 at a time at any audition, and we choose up to 100 to take part, so it's a great spectacle.
Mm. And what sort of age bracket?
8 to 18. Don't take that many 8-year-olds because they haven't got enormous dance vocabulary, but some of them are very promising, and it gives them a chance. So it's a very nice opportunity for them.
Good experience, isn't it, as well?
Yes.
Particularly if you've just got into that sort of dance and to particularly go to like the Grand Theatre and perform on stage as well.
Yes. Well, we have been working very hard rehearsing for the last month. In the tail end of their school holidays and each weekend. And it finally came together on Sunday, the whole thing. So we are ready to go and do a technical rehearsal in the theatre Thursday evening in the theatre.
All ready for
Friday.
For Friday night.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's going to be full of parents from the local area to start off with, and that's going to be really busy in itself. But they say this is a chance to see an updating of a really classic ballet. And, you know, what do you expect to be the highlights of the performance for those non-parents who are coming along, who aren't looking for little Jimmy and Mavis?
I think that it's the drama of it. I think that English Youth Ballet prides itself on giving the drama of the story very clearly, even though, you know, no words are spoken. So many of the productions sometimes I see miss that out and don't put enough emphasis on that side of things. I want people to understand ballet. The highlight really is probably the wicked Carabosse, who casts the spell, and it's played by a man, and he's very, very strong and very, very good. And, you know, that sort of provides the contrast between the very classical dancing and the drama and mime in the ballet. And I think we do appeal to the general public. We do have a nucleus of, obviously, family, but we do have letters from the general public saying, you know, it's wonderful, I've seen this ballet and I haven't had to go to London, or I haven't had to go right into Birmingham to see the Royal Ballet, etc. It's on my doorstep. So, you know, we do get very good reception from the general public.
And obviously the music is a vitally important part of the ballet itself. Mm. And how does that be performed for this production?
The music. Yeah. We do have recording music. They're particularly good recordings, because, you know, we couldn't house an enormous Tchaikovsky 60-piece orchestra at Wolverhampton, but we have a Russian Rimsky orchestra playing Tchaikovsky, which is ideal.
The first night is Friday the 19th of September. That's a 7:30 show.
Yes.
Tickets are priced £13.50 through to £20.
Yes.
But you have a Saturday matinee at 2:30, and again an evening performance at half
yes.
7. And say tickets price the same throughout.
Yes.
It's important to get your tickets as quickly as possible, because this is going to be a sellout, I can feel.
Well, yes, it's sold very well anyway, but there are some left. So if you hurry, you might get the
get the one or two.
Do get down there.
Yes.
And
so it's going to be a fabulous Friday or Saturday night out, though, isn't it?
Should be beautiful, I would have thought.
So, well, the thing that I love about ballets is, as well as like the music, which really tells the story, along with the mimes and the dances, the costumes are so fantastic.
We
as well,
do
aren't
have
they?
A very good designer who works for Phantom of the Opera and other West End productions, does films, and he designs and organises the makers who do some beautiful work. And you will find the costumes are very colourful and very spectacular in our production.
So that is the English Youth Ballet at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. If you do want to get your hands on tickets, go to grandtheatre.co.uk, or you can call the box office on 01902 429212. Certainly, please get yourself down there. If you enjoy ballet, you're going to absolutely love this. I think there's some big names of the future going to be on that stage as well, aren't there?
Yes. We also have our professional dancers. We've got a new dancer from the Boston Ballet in America doing the leading role, Aurora, and they're backed up, of course, by the local young, talented dancers from the area.
If you do want more information on the English Youth Ballet, where do they go for the website?
www.englishyouthballet.co.uk.
And you can find out
all there.
Yep, all about the production, and it'll even tell
yes.
you about the design and the costumes and everything
yes,
else
will.
As well.
Yes.
Jenny Lewis MBE, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your good work, and we look forward to the ballet arriving in Wolverhampton this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's take some music now. It's Nowhere Town. I'm Matt Willoughby.
Well, I want you. Will I get lost in this city haze, in this weary place, for days and days? Well, I want you to take me back.
Nowhere Town.
Matt Willoughby joins us now. Are you in Nowhere Town at the moment?
Nearly, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just in car at the minute, so, you know.
He could be anywhere.
City sort of
could
nowhere.
Could be anywhere, yeah. Nowhere Town, on my way.
Well, great music, and tell us about you and how all this came together into a career.
I've been doing music since I was like a kid, really, you know. I mean,
you're not that old now, are you?
I'm 20, you know, I'm like a 20-summer, so, you know.
That is not old. I just want to take this.
That
is really not old, okay?
It doesn't it?
Well, you should look at music video and then you'll decide for yourself.
It's been a hard life, has it?
Neither. but yeah, you know, just growing up, my dad, he's a musician. And, you know, he just taught me how to play guitar. I was curious one day and he just taught me. And I picked guitar up and I've not put it down since. And it just took off from there, really. Songwriting and that and, you know, poetry and stuff. And yeah, it's just took off.
So you've been doing it for quite a few years then? How long have you been doing it on like a professional level where you've been gigging and releasing songs? And
probably about 3 or 4 years, roughly.
Hmm.
So not a long time, but, you know, I've played in quite a few Sheffield bands and that, and, you know, I learned my trade a bit. And
yeah. As I say, it's enough, isn't it, to get the experience behind you so you can carry on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, experience is key, yeah. You've got to play with the musicians, you know, it makes you a better guitar player and all-round musician, really.
And who do you class your influences as?
Oh, there's a lot. All the old-time blues artists, Robert Johnson, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Eric Clapton, Bob Dylan, he's my main one, as he's probably quite a few other people's, but yeah, Bob Dylan, he's up there with my influences.
Do you want to emulate his career path as well, or do you really feel that have you got your own direction to go and you're just going to maybe draw a little bit from what you've enjoyed listening to his music?
If we could get to where he's now, then I'd be very chuffed. I wouldn't mind being where he's at. I mean, I'm quite content in recording music, playing music live, and just letting people enjoy what I do. If they enjoy it, you know, brilliant.
Where did your influences come from? I mean, are they your parents? Because you're quite young to be like delving into that sort of era, really.
My dad, he's the one that introduced me to all the music that I listen to now, and music that's inspired me. You know, all the old 50s and 60s music, you know, 70s and stuff like that. And you know, after a show, you know, the main ones that kind of explored other music. And, you know, he still tells me now what I should and shouldn't listen to.
Keeps you under control. No, you're not having any of that terrible modern stuff on.
But does he like what you do? That's the most important thing. Does he like your music?
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope he does. I hope he likes it. He's sat next to me now. He's smirking, so
that's a good sign.
Yeah,
so
fingers crossed.
I think it's a good sign, yeah.
Now, where can we get your music from, and what's your website details?
I've got a Facebook page, which is Matt Willoughby Music, and I've also got a SoundCloud, which is the same, and a Twitter, at Matt Willoughby.
As in Willoughby, go and spell that one for us.
W-I-L-L-O-U-G-H-B-Y.
See, I would have got it right because I sat next to someone called Matthew Willoughby at school. But but he's not 20 and he hasn't got the same accent as you. So, definitely not you. They can find out more about you. They can get the videos as well. And Nowhere Town, that video is up online now, is it?
It is, yeah, and I've got another music video out as well, which is Beat Feet, which is that's out as well.
And we're going to take a listen to that in literally moments from now. So we'll hear that in a second. However, is there anything else as far as gigs go at the moment? Are they coming up in the near future? Is there anywhere to look out for you?
There's none planned as of yet because I'm just working on material. We've got a band together and we're just rehearsing and just getting music to where it needs to be, and then we'll be all ready to get back on it.
Well, we'll look out for you doing more out and about around the country.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we'll take a listen to another of your tunes. As we say, this one is Beat Feet. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Julia Sutton is an aspiring author. She's got her first book, The Lake of Lilies, available to pre-order. And to tell us more about it, she's on the phone now. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm all right. Zoe, you all right?
Yes, I'm very well for a change.
That's all good. So, Lake of Lilies, this is your first novel. How did it all come about?
Well, I've always loved creative writing and writing short stories since an early age. I had the idea when I was on holiday, and when I came back from holiday, I started writing it. It took me about 18 months, just writing on an evening and weekends. And then that's pretty much it, really. I just had the idea I've always wanted to write a romantic mystery, so I just had the idea while on holiday.
What sort of, I know you say romantic mystery, but is it like a Mills and Boons type? Or
you want to know whether it gets raunchy, don't you?
Yes, is there raunchy
bits? Well, there are a few raunchy bits, yeah.
And this is based on your personal experiences in life?
No.
So
I don't know how people can write that, actually. I think I'd go a bit red writing it, let alone reading it.
Right, particularly if you come home. All right, love, I need to just try something out for the book. Yeah.
I'm sure your husband wouldn't mind.
No, he wouldn't.
So there's a little bit of everything in there.
Yes, there is. There's romance, mystery, intrigue, suspense, a little bit of crime, yeah. Appeals to everybody, really, yeah.
And now the way this is all coming together as a publishing deal, this is where we need your help, isn't it? Well, not you. We don't need your help. You need everyone else's help.
Yes, I do. Yes, please.
So explain how the book is due to be published.
It's through a publisher called Britain's Next Bestseller. And what it is, to get my publishing deal, I have to have 250 pre-orders within a certain time frame. I've got 40 days left and I've sold 76 at the moment.
That's a good start then.
Yeah, I've got 76, so that's pretty good. So I need to get to 250 before I get the publishing contract.
Yeah, no. That'd be good. So I presume that people that put their name down for it, they don't pay for it until it's actually comes out. It's just like a pre-order.
Yes, it's a pre-order. They're not charged until the end of the campaign, which is right at the end of October. And then if it's successful, it's published in January next year.
And do they get to read like the first chapter or something to make their mind up after that?
Yes, there's the first three chapters on the Britain's Next Bestseller website.
Well, we decided to give you a bit of a taste of it. We were drawing straws to see who was going to do the reading. And I got the short one.
Yes, so you've got much better reading.
I'm not very good at reading out loud. So should I have a go at reading this for you?
Yeah, lovely.
I'm going to turn your two microphones down a little bit so you don't giggle at me too much in the background.
Okay.
Okay, right, here we go. Chapter one, Lisa. It was an unusually hot spring day. For the last 3 weeks, there'd been a mini heat wave with little rain, plenty of sunshine, and today seemed to be following the pattern. There'd been a few spatterings of cloud early this morning, and now, just after midday, the sky was clear. Golden rays from the sun shone down, warming and illuminating, bathing the English landscape in a vivid radiance and light. Lisa Reynolds walked quickly along the winding dirt path. In the distance, she could see a mass of trees huddled close together, their boughs merging in an explosion of pink and white blossom. She'd been walking for almost 3/4 of an hour. Her feet were sore from standing too long. Her shoulders ached under the pressure of a pretty but practical handbag, which was weighed down with books, uniform, makeup and keys. Lisa had just finished work. She didn't have a seated job like her best friend Emma, who was employed as a legal secretary. Emma worked in a neat, pristine office with whitewashed walls and expensive furnishings. In comparison, Lisa worked in a chaotic cafe, bright, loud and cheerful, and smelt deliciously of freshly baked bread and croissant. Lisa usually worked part-time, but had been helping out with the unexpected flux of customers that the Easter holidays had brought to town. Today had been very busy, as well as the locals, who Lisa knew the majority of by first-name terms, there'd also been numerous out-of-town visitors. Little Hamsden was a very picturesque place to live, with a patchwork rural landscape, rolling hills and barley-sweet meadows. The population was small, the shops and the houses were quaint. The church was stunning with its dazzling myriad stained glass windows, the archaic brickwork, and the magnificent steeple with its southern tip encapsulated by gargoyles and angels. It was a place which was packed full of history, a place where folk tales and myths had originated and religious factions had flourished. Even the more dubious ones had been documented over the years in the local museum. Little Hamsden dripped with flowery imagery, which a poet might attribute to a typical idyllic country life. It nestled like a gem, bursting with colour and waiting to be discovered. In comparison, the neighbouring city, which is approximately an hour's drive away, was shrouded with smog and modernity, grey, urban and impersonal. One of the main attractions of Little Hamsden was the lake, which twisted and turned, weaving its way around the town, creating a type of medieval Arthurian fortress. And that's where we'll stop, because that's the lake in question.
Into that, Sir Jason.
that was lovely, thank you.
So, Lake of Lilies is the title, and I'm guessing that's the lake around the outside of the town itself.
That's right. Yeah.
And have you based even that? I know we've talked about the sex stuff, but have you based that on anywhere you've been?
No, not really. I just sort of wanted to use like a village, a small town scene, and just thought it up really.
So it doesn't resemble like anywhere you've visited or anything like that? Because I've been to Italy quite a lot, and I can imagine if I was to write a book, I'd probably try and base it around some of the beautiful villages that are in Italy. So
yeah, it's not, to be honest, now.
It's just a collection of things.
Just my imagination, really.
Even better when you let your imagination run wild.
I was going to say, I'd like to visit there as well.
Yeah.
So you never know. Now you've got to try and work out where they're going to set it for the film, which will come in years to come. So you want to start thinking about that now.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And make it somewhere nice and warm so you can have a family holiday there at the same time.
That'd be nice.
So to get these things underway, we've got to get people to buy the book. So we're in the 70s already. We've got to hit 250. Where do people go if they want to pre-order?
The web address is www.britainsnextbestseller.co.uk. My book's on there under The Like of Lilies, or you can search under the name Julia Sutton. It will come up and it will take you through the order process. So it's quite straightforward.
And you do just quickly register as a member, put your details in, and so they do on the website state they will not take any money until the final book is confirmed as being published. I'm sure it will be. 250 copies. If it hasn't quite made it, Steve's going to buy the rest, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, well, I hope so.
That's the other half, isn't it? So,
hopefully.
Well, we know what everyone's getting for Christmas this year, at least.
Yeah.
Signed copies as well.
Well, it makes them much more worth it as well.
I'll sign them as well.
Julia, lovely speaking to you. Give us that web address one more time.
It's www.britainsnextbestseller.co.uk.
And then we just search for Julia Sutton and it comes up with The Lake of Lilies.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for talking to you. Good to speak to you. And
thank
good
you
luck
much.
With the rest of the sales.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Ciao for now.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Let's take another track then from our musician for this week. It's Matt Willoughby and The Light. Be The Light. So the phone lines we go then, where we find Mikey Johnson from Jungleland.
Hello.
Hello.
It sounds like you're live and direct from some exciting continent, doesn't it? But you're actually in Telford.
Actually, yeah, Trent's Telford. Not quite as exciting as I hoped, but yeah, quite exciting.
It's not the Congo, but it is good fun nonetheless.
Absolutely.
So we always spoke to you probably around this time last year ahead of your Halloween shenanigans. So first of all, tell us what's going on at Jungleland and then we'll talk a bit more about silence, playtime is over.
Well, at the minute, Jungleland, we've just finished our very successful, busy 6 weeks holiday. So all the kids are now going back to school. We have actually just launched our brand new Animal Encounters evenings. Our Animal Encounters, where we have the animal man come in one day a week after school. It's always announced on our Facebook page and children can get up close and personal with things like snakes and hedgehogs and lizards, like those kind of horrible things, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, some of them are quite nice, though.
The hedgehogs are cute, definitely.
Yeah. Bearded dragons, I like those.
But have you got stuff like Safariland, your nine-hole crazy golf course, and there's free Wi-Fi, which is important these days.
Absolutely, yeah, we've got the free Wi-Fi, so while all the kids are playing on all three of our attractions, we've got the Giant Safari Soft Play, the Laserland mission. We've also got the Safariland mini golf, like you say, and yeah, the parents can relax with a coffee on our sofas and enjoy the free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's going to be, I mean, you could make that into a whole day event, couldn't you, if the kids went on all three events. Is it like stuff to eat and drink there as well? Can make a real day out.
Yeah, we've got the Cheeky Chimps Cafe as well. We've got quite a large selection of meals for both adults and children, a large selection of hot and cold drinks as well. So it definitely can be made into a nice big family day out.
Yeah, sounds good.
So what is it for the adults as well? Are they allowed to take part in the Laserland stuff?
Yeah, well, we're quite lucky in the fact that we let adults actually play in Jungleland as well. Not many play centres allow their adults on the equipment, but we do. So we've got the giant soft play area where adults can go and interact with their children. As well with Laser and the golf, the adults can play them as well.
Oh, sounds good. Have you got any of those really big slides?
We've got quite a big wave slide, which is pretty high.
Oh, I like those.
You're going to go along, aren't you? I can see you turning up.
I like those.
Dressed like that as well, but there we go.
This is my play outfit.
Yeah. we'll talk more about that at some point, I'm sure. So what else have you got lined up then in the near future? Because as we mentioned, Halloween is on the way, and this is where you come into your own, because you are a scare practitioner, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Halloween is definitely where my heart lies. I think Halloween is better than Christmas, to be honest. I don't know about you guys, but Halloween is definitely our most popular time of year as well at Jungleland, just after the February half term. And we do a annual Halloween party every Halloween night. So on the 31st of October, we start at 6:30 till 9 o'clock. And we've got our brand new for 2014 Horror Maze, which is Silence. Playtime is over.
That just sounds evil.
Last year sounded scary.
This is horrible. This sounds worse.
Yeah, sounds even worse.
This one's going on a slightly different path, really. Yeah, the last 2 years have been very successful. We've had some great reviews from Scare Tour UK, biggest Scare Tour review site in Europe, actually. So we've been having some great reviews, but we're going to go on a slightly different path and go down the path of the paranormal this year. Mm. So it's going to be a little bit more spooky, I think.
So what age group are you aiming this at?
Well, we're quite lucky in the fact that we've got all areas of Jungleland we can use. So we will go from the very young children, as in from babes in arms, really. We have the very friendly witches, the sort of spooky boogie disco, the ghost train. We'll have some scary tale story time as well for the younger children. And then we can go all the way up to, you know, adults and grandparents who love it as well with the actual Horror Maze. So we've got good round family entertainment for all ages, really.
Mm, you can have people jumping out on them as they walk round the maze.
Yeah, it's going to be sort of like a live action horror experience. So there'll be professionally trained scare actors, they're called, in our Horror Maze, where they'll interact with all the adults and children and sort of basically try and scare them as much as we can.
I don't think I'll go to that one.
No, you'd probably absolutely love it. And
sounds very scary.
How many people are going to be involved in the scaring on this one? Pretty much so you can count them off as you go along. No, I've seen 15 people now or whatever. How does it work?
Well, I don't want to give too much away before you go through. But remember, I mean, with spirits, sometimes you might see them, sometimes you might not. You never know who's behind you.
It sounds like an interesting way. And it's the only way to spend your time. And yeah, the whole family can come along and enjoy a bit of Halloween
Absolutely.
Fun, can't they?
Definitely.
So you mentioned Rintrench. Tell us more about the site itself and how people can find you.
We can find it off the MP4. Just down the EP on the A442. We're in a giant building in Interchange. It's an Interchange House in Trench Lock, Tango Foxtrot 1 6 Sierra Zulu.
That's the way to do it. Chuck it in your sat nav, and hopefully it'll lead you straight to the door. And you'll definitely be using the same sat nav to get yourself the hell out of there after you've been scared witless on
Make
Halloween.
Sure you've got your address in the home button, so you can put it in quite quickly.
And if people want to find out more, they can get along to your Facebook page as well, can't they?
They can. I mean, we've Dungarland have just launched our brand new state-of-the-art website as well. So you can check us out on our website at www.dungarlandtelford.com. And if you want any information regarding the evening event at Halloween, we've got the Dungarland Facebook, which is the Dungarland official Facebook page. We've also got the Escape Entertainment page, which is the guys who are into their scary stuff who actually provide the maze for us. So you can go onto their Facebook page at Escape Entertainment as well.
Yeah, just to get a bit of a preview on what you can expect.
Absolutely.
It's full of pictures of you with lots of makeup on and many, many people you know, isn't it?
Oh, it's actually full of me without my makeup on.
Well, that's even more frightening, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah.
Which is just as scary, actually. Yeah, it's all part of our... We're a Midland-based small company that like to provide scares around the Telford area, really. We've worked at Wonderland a couple of years ago. We've worked at Jungleland the past few years. We've actually teamed up with our friends in Birmingham at Twisted Attractions as well. We've teamed up with them a few times. And we will be for Silence this year as well.
All good stuff, I think. I'm almost convinced. If you want to get hold of Jungleland as well, you can give them a call, 01952 252 222, and you can have a chat and sort out their opening times. But you're open throughout the year as well, aren't you?
We're open, yeah, 10 till 6, 7 days a week. The only days we close are Christmas Day, Boxing Day and New Year's Day.
Ah, so, I mean, now the weather's getting a bit colder and a bit wetter, it's ideal to go somewhere like that, right? 'Cause it's all indoors.
All indoors, absolutely, yeah. We've got all our three attractions all under one roof, so it's the perfect place just to park up and stay the whole day with us on a nice rainy day.
Absolutely brilliant. Mikey, great speaking to you. Keep up the good work, and we shall look forward to finding out how you got on by following the details on your Facebook page, because Zoe's too scared to go, okay?
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Drop it down.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that's it for us this week. Time to go home.
Unfortunately.
Oh, you love it here, don't you?
I do.
You just like sitting around chatting with people on the phone. This is the only time you have to talk to people in the week, isn't it?
Yes.
You're never on the phone at work at all, are you?
Well, I am. I'm on it all day. Perhaps I just like talking.
This is it. Can't stop it. But there we go. Right, we'll be back for more on episode 274 next week. I didn't mean to do that. We'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.